Now, how many are ready to receive from the Lord today, from the Word? Okay, stand with me, everybody. Stand with me, grab your Bibles, and turn to Acts chapter 2. You remember last week I've been talking about back to the basics, and we were talking about the baptism in the power of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? So let's go to Acts 2, and let me set the background of this. Now, remember, Jesus already told them in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise, which was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, Jesus had already died. He'd already resurrected from the dead. His blood has already been shed. These followers were already saved. He said, there's something more I want my believers to have. And on that day, the church was born. It was called the Day of Pentecost. And Pentecost was the festival of the ingathering of the harvest. Penta means 50, which was 50 days after Passover, which is what Jesus was, the Passover lamb on the cross. And 50 days later, when they're celebrating the ingathering of the harvest, God said, I'm not talking about grain. I'm talking about an empowerment in you that'll bring everybody in your household, in your neighborhood, and around the world to Jesus Christ because you're full of the Spirit. And so here he is, and he tells him to wait for this second work of his grace, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So here they are in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Now let me explain that to you. You say, how come we don't see wind and fire when people get baptized in the power of the Spirit like they did in the early church? And it was only this incident. If you're a student of the Word, you will discover through the Old Testament, whenever God was getting ready to do something new and different, powerful among his people, it would always be preceded by a mighty wind or even sometimes by fire. So what God is saying, this has never happened before. This is new. The church is going to be born, and it's new. I'm sending you the power of my Holy Spirit to each believer. So watch this. Verse 4, look what began to happen. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This was the first physical thing that happened when that power was released through their life as Jesus followers. Now look at Acts chapter 2. Let's go to verse 14. Now the whole town's going crazy, okay? I mean the whole town, even unbelievers going crazy. 3,000 people are getting saved. They're being filled with the Spirit, man. I mean, they're calling 911. Something's going on in the upper room. Now look at verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11. He's talking to all these people, even believers and unbelievers. Raised his voice and addressed the crowd. He said, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Notice he didn't say, I'm going to apologize for this, what's happening. Look, I don't apologize for what the Word of God says, but I do owe you an explanation of what it says and what it means for you. Now look what he says. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Paraphrase, these folks are having a great time. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Not priests, not just rabbis, not just intellect, everybody who's hungry, all people. Watch this. He says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. That means to declare the glory of God. Prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I just want you to know I'm still seeing visions, okay? Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And you, friends, will prophesy, declare the glory of God to this generation. You will declare the glory of God to this generation. Come on, how many hungry people do we have for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Woo! High five, your neighbor said, this is for you, God's equal opportunity. Amen. Come on, high five, and you can be seated in the house of God. So I want to get to this teaching because how many were here last Sunday? Okay, so if you weren't here last Sunday, listen, what you need to do is download the app, do it right now, and go listen, not don't listen now, but listen after service on my teaching I did on why for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I even talk a little bit about why the prayer language, we call the prayer language, is speaking in that unknown tongue. What is that? And it goes in depth. So I want you to download that app. And let me tell you what will happen. There's a supernatural thing that will happen to you when you download the app. It's very supernatural. The moment you download the app, if you've not downloaded the app, you've not felt this yet, but when you download the app, you will sense a spirit of coolness just come over you. You will, I'm telling you, you're going to feel, you know, nerdish right now, but when you download that app, it's going to, there's a cool spirit comes on you. I'm kidding. Come on, I'm kidding. So let's talk about this infilling, the power of the Holy Spirit. First of all, what I want to say to every Jesus follower in this room and those watching online is that the baptism in the power of the Holy Spirit is for every Jesus Christ follower who is hungry and believes it's theirs. How many believe it's for you today? This power is yours. Say this. The power is mine. Say it. The power is mine. It's for you. Now look at what Jesus said. Let's go to Acts 1:8. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And here's the first thing that'll start happening to you. You'll start being a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Jesus said, there's going to be a power of boldness that comes on you to start declaring my glory, even if you're persecuted and martyred for it. There's a presence of God that comes on you. You're not a weirdo. You are someone full of the presence of God. And there's this boldness to share who you are with Jesus, of Jesus Christ, with other people. And he says, in its power. And remember, that word power was the word dunamis in the Greek, which is where you get your word dynamite, explosive power. And it literally meant mighty ability, mighty work of God, ability. God says, the things you can't do right now in your life, there's power that's going to come through you that's from God Almighty to do things you could never do in your own human strength, your own human ability, and your own intellect. He says, I'm going to give that to you. And we talked a little bit about that last week. So let me just give you just a couple reminders of that. Remember, one of the powers is for the power of edification. That doesn't mean just to build yourself up, but it means that you start building up people out around you. And look what Jude 20 said. I want to read it from the message for a little better clarity. He says, but you, dear friends, speaking to the church, carefully build yourselves up. How? In the most holy faith by praying in what, everybody? The Holy Spirit. He said, not just now lay me down to sleep. There's a prayer in the Holy Spirit, a spirit-empowered prayer language that he says you start building yourself up. And that's not arrogance. Remember, it was an architectural term and an architectural word picture in the Greek that literally meant to build a foundation so the structure wouldn't fall. So that means you're not going to keep falling to temptation. You're not going to keep falling to the porn. You're not going to keep falling to the anger all the time. When you start being filled with the Spirit, you can be in the Spirit so much that when people offend you, the offense doesn't even stick to you. It's like water off a duck's back. And finally, in fact, you'll be so full of the Holy Spirit, you'll find hope in a slap across the face. I mean, there is a boldness and there's a strength that comes at you, and you're not collapsing. You're not collapsing to the addiction all the time. He says it means to hold the structure, but it also meant something else. It meant to build onto a structure. It means when you start praying in the Holy Spirit, you start adding on to your spiritual walk with God. That means you start, like the grow track over here, we're going to offer it again here in March. You start growing in your spiritual experience, growing in your gifts. You start building up and edifying the rest of your family, the rest of your small group. You start being a person that edifies in a company that may have a bunch of people that don't know Jesus. You start lifting in other words, it's like ducks in a bathtub. You put all the ducks in there, all the ducks rise because of what's being filled in the tank. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you just don't rise to build yourself. You start building the whole church, and all the little duckies in this place rise with you. Come on, how many want to build up in the holy faith? Amen. That just came to me. God gave it to me as baby ducks. That was weird, wasn't it? But he gives you power to edification. Now remember the other one. There's so many things, but remember, the other one is for powerful supplication. That means there's something marked that happens different in your prayer life when you are baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a definite difference. And one of those things that you see physically that happened to the people throughout the early church in the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament is they started praying to God in what is called the unknown tongue, speaking other tongues, but it is what I call the private language of communing from your spirit to God's spirit. It is powerful. It goes beyond your English and your own intellect. Now, you got to remember, please remember this, for those of you that are new and you weren't here, don't get messed up, because if you don't get this straight, you're going to mess this up. There is a huge difference in the New Testament between speaking in tongues for your private individual communion with God and the public use of speaking in tongues when you're in a corporate assembly where someone gives a message in tongues for interpretation for the whole body to be lifted up. If you don't understand those two, you're going to mess yourself up and other people around you when it comes to speaking other tongues. Because Paul showed that everyone can speak in tongues for interpretation, but not all do. He says not everybody gets to be used in that gift. But he showed clearly that every believer, every Jesus follower can be so filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that they can begin to pray privately in communion with God daily to edify themselves and raise all the other little rubber ducks in the pool along with them every day. So it's prayer. So let me show you what it does in Romans 8, 26. I'm just going to reiterate it. He says, and the Holy Spirit, everybody say the Holy Spirit. So that doesn't mean it's not Sam, it's not Brenda, it's the Holy Spirit. There's a part of my spirit that, he said, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. That's when the building's falling. So your kid just really offended, your husband just said something to you, crushed you. You need praying the Holy Spirit. You're weak right now. For example, we don't know what God wants for us to pray. So I just don't know how to pray about this marriage anymore. I just don't know how to pray. Well, try praying in the Holy Spirit. I don't know how to pray about this dating relation. Well, why don't you try praying in the Holy Spirit? Watch this. We don't have to pray for it, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. It's talking that natural language you know. But there are groanings. It's those unintelligible words, the dialect of the Holy Spirit, that private use of the prayer language that God starts praying through you. And here's what verse 27 says. And the Father, everybody say the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for you, for the believers, in harmony with God's will and not our own will. Are y'all getting this? The reason why God wants you to hunger for the baptism of the Holy Spirit is because you and I can pray some really dumb things in our natural spirit. We're praying out of our emotions. Just like when, like the moment ago when you heard that message that out of your anger. So you're praying things out of anger over relationship, and it's not moving God. It's not open heavens. So he says, what you've got to do is stop praying in your hurt because they took your boyfriend or your girlfriend, and start praying in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit goes around your own emotion, goes around your own anger, and he starts praying directly what the will of God is for you, to give you what's best instead of what you think is best. How many of you want to pray in the Holy Spirit? There's power, folks. Now, are you seeing this? These believers needed the power of the Holy Spirit, and so do you. Jesus said, you've got to have this power, because he says, I'm going away. But he said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who's going to baptize you and give you power. Now look, these folks were facing tough stuff, everybody. When these people became Christians, they lost their jobs. They took their money. They shut down their businesses. They persecuted them. They beat them. They whipped them. They put them in prison. And Jesus said, if I'm going away, you folks are going to need something that will help you stand up against the struggle of everyday life. So when they got filled with the Spirit, God empowered them to show glory. And this is where the gospel is today, because of people filled with the Spirit. I just take my word for it. And I'm telling you, some of you are going to be under persecution for being saved, and you're going to need the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, he's there for the practical stuff. He'll show you what your career path is supposed to be. He'll show you who you're supposed to marry. He'll show you who you're supposed to dump. I'm serious. He'll show you who to dump. He'll show you the right friends to get. He'll start giving you wisdom, sir, in the boardroom. And you, listen, what you learned to get your MBA, he's going to bypass what you got in your MBA and all that knowledge and give you insight and genius in places, ma'am. He's going to teach you in that corporate boardroom how to speak. He's going to make you wise as an attorney. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will make you better than you are in every realm. He'll help you overcome the temptations every time you're falling in your dating relationship and you're getting sexually involved. He'll give you power to go overcome those things. He'll give you power to have wisdom. He'll give you power to overcome the joint you can't stop. He'll give you the power to overcome the hate and the prejudice. I'm telling you, he does everything, friends, when you give him full access to your life. And that power is for you today. So let me back up now. So some of you are going, are you telling me that if I don't speak in other tongues, I don't have the Holy Spirit? Are you telling me that if I don't get filled with the power of the Spirit, I don't have the Holy Spirit? Of course not. How many know the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, is the agent that brings us to repentance, to knowledge in Jesus? How many know the Bible says it's the Holy Spirit that seals our salvation? How many know the Bible also says it's the Holy Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that you are now son and daughter of God? So the Holy Spirit is in you. Let me put it another way. Let me put it a whole different way. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit is resident. He is in you. No doubt about it. But let's say I'm in my office one day and somebody comes to my office but doesn't go through the receptionist, doesn't go through my administrative assistant, and just comes right into my office. I mean, and just plops down. I'm trying to hear a word from God and plops down in the sofa and just sits there and has an envelope in their hand, and this is all they do. They don't say hi or nothing. They just are resident in my office, and they just do this the whole time they're there. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you just come on in here, you're just resident here in my office, and you just sit there and tap that annoying thing while I'm trying to hear a voice from God, and you're just doing this to irritate me. Finally, my phone rings, and some other line says, is this Pastor Sam Richard? Yes, that's right. They said, did a gentleman come into your office today sometime? I don't know what you're talking about. Well, there's a gentleman that's supposed to come with a special envelope for you today. Did they ever show up? Yeah, he's here right now. Oh, he is. Well, he's in my office. Oh, he's resident in your office. Yeah, he's there right now. And I tell you, he's driving me up a wall. He's just tapping this envelope. And I'm telling you, he didn't invite to come in. I mean, he's just driving me crazy with that envelope. He said, he has the envelope? Yes, he has the envelope. You mean you don't have it? No, I don't have it. You need that envelope. Well, why do I need that envelope? Because in that envelope, there's a check for Grand Rapids First for $2 million. Who has the envelope? He has, and now that envelope isn't as irritating as now, and it's not irritating me now. If it had just flipped the envelope over and I'd have seen this one, and then I'd have known to pay attention. And then that person says, well, Pastor Sam, are there things that you need to have done at the church that you can't do now because you don't have the resource to do it? Yeah, I've got a whole building over here, a life center, that we're using for the Zoe Church, and we're using for our kids, and we're using for Bible studies and for Celebrate Recovery and all kinds of things. And it needs a healing. It looks like a rock group went through it, and it needs a healing. And we got to pay for that, but we can't do it now because we don't have the resource to do it. And I got a maintenance barn over here that's about ready to fall apart on me, and we want to put a maintenance barn so we can start doing oil changes for elderly that can't afford it and for widows who need it, and we want it, but we can't do that right now. Well, let me just say, inside that envelope is a check for $2 million. Now, Pastor Sam, it would behoove you to go grab that envelope and open it right away, because he can sit in your office and hold that $2 million, but it'll do nothing for the church. The gift is there. The power is there to do something you've never been able to do before, but it can't happen, Pastor Sam, until you grab that envelope out of his hand, open it up, and now you can do what you could not do before. Friends, that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit becomes resident. But when you get filled with the power and let the power open up and you start opening it, he doesn't just become resident, he becomes president. And how many know there's a difference between a resident in the United States and the president of the United States? There's an authority that they have that I do not have. And what happens is when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you start opening up, and he starts helping you with the anger issues, your prejudice issues, your sexual dysfunction, the healing of abuse. He starts giving you power to witness to people. He starts giving you a boldness. He starts giving you a path, but it doesn't open until you take the envelope and say, I just don't want you resident. I want to open up the authority of everything you have, God, in my life. Oh, man. He's in there tapping the envelope. By the way, if you come to my office and start tapping an envelope, I won't let you wait. I'll take the, amen, we'll let you bless us, amen. Are you seeing what I'm saying here, friends? That power is for you. Don't let him just reside to save you. Rip open what he has for you, because there's stuff you're wanting to see done in your life that's not happening now. And it will when you start hungering for the baptism in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, man, isn't that good? Okay, so that power is for you today. Let me tell you what else. He goes, Pastor, is that really for me? Listen, the power is not just for you, but the promise of that power is for you today. So I want you to go to Luke chapter 11, verse 13, but I want to preface this what Jesus said. So Jesus is talking about all that he wants to do for his people and the power of the Holy Spirit, and he looks at these believers, and Jesus says, he goes, now look. He said, now you fathers, even though you might have a sinful nature bent, I'm going to paraphrase this. He said, if your kid asks for fish sticks, are you going to throw down a plate of rattlesnakes in them in front of their face? He said, if your kids ask for scrambled eggs this morning, by the way, I made scrambled eggs for my grandson. So if Brent and I look a little sleepy, you know why. Amen. 9 months old. He says, if you being evil, he says, if your kids ask for scrambled eggs, do you throw him down a plate of scorpions? He said, now that's you as people that can have a sinful nature and you love God. So look what he says in Acts 11, 13. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who will just simply ask him, Lord, I need the power of your Holy Spirit. And here's what Satan's doing. He's got some of you hung up. Pastor, I'm dealing with this issue of cigarettes. God, I'm dealing with this issue of smoke. I'm dealing with these issues of anger. Pastor, I'm dealing with these issues in my mind. I can't get over it. God, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is ready to pour out on you, and that's why you need the Holy Spirit. And Satan's sitting there trying to tell you you're not good enough for this. He says, look, if you sinful dads even know how to give good gifts, you have a Heavenly Father that wants you so full of the Spirit that you can overcome in life and reflect Jesus Christ. How many believe he's ready to give it to A-double-L, all in this room who are hungering for it? Amen. It's yours. It's yours. Jesus promised it. Now, let me show you something about three baptisms. Let's go to this because I want to show the promises for you. Remember, I don't just say this to you. I give you a theological background for believing for it. So if you will look in the New Testament as a Jesus follower, you'll see a pattern of three baptisms. I talked about them last week. You remember that? The first baptism was the baptism when you get saved into Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ. You're baptized in Jesus Christ. The second baptism was the witness that you are baptized in Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. And you saw that today when all these people got water baptized today. Come on, how many believe God's going to bless those folks again today? Amen. Water baptized. That was the second water baptism. Then you saw a third baptism follow. It was the baptism in the power of the Holy Spirit, another work of grace that God did even beyond salvation, authority, president, that ruling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to show you this. Now, look, on the day of Pentecost, watch what's happening. They were all scattered, but now they're together, 120 in the upper room. They get filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're already saved. They get filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They start praising and communing and worshiping in an unknown tongue. 3,000 people get saved. The whole city is dumped on their head. And look, you can still see the three baptisms as the disciple Peter explains. Look at Acts 2:37. Now watch what happens. This is on the day of Pentecost. Brothers, what shall we do? They're watching all this stuff. He says, what shall we do? And Peter replied, everybody say the next word with me. What did he reply? Repent. That's baptism one. Give your life to Jesus. Ask forgiveness of your sins. And he will be your Lord, and you'll be baptized into the family, baptized into the body of Christ. Repent. Now look at this. Repent and what? Be every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That is the second baptism. That was water baptism. They were baptized. That was that word baptizo, which means to be totally immersed, showing that picture of total surrender to Jesus Christ, resurrected in new life. And you will receive the gift of the what? There's the third baptism. Now, they're all looking at this. They think they're going crazy. They think they're all drunk. And look what he says. What you see happening right now, people saved, people water baptized, people delivered, miracles. He said, let me tell you this. This promise is for you and all your kiddos and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Friends, It wasn't just for that upper room. It wasn't just for what would happen in the early church. He said it was for all afar off. And guess what? You and I are the ones that were the afar off, but now brought in, and it's still pouring out today. Come on, friends. It's for you today, okay? It's for you. Now, look, there were some people who were baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit before they got water baptized. You see that in Acts 10:44. But you see a sequence of the pattern theologically of there's a baptism in Jesus, a baptism in water, and then baptism in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the problem we have is we have too many Christians and churches sometimes only wanting to talk to you about two baptisms. Get saved, go get baptized in water, and they never talk to you about the thing that Jesus said you're going to need because I'm leaving, because you're going to face stuff and you're going to need this power to overcome. They never want to talk about baptism number three. Why? Because of weirdos. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not a weirdo. Tell him, I'm not a weirdo. I'm not a weirdo. Weird days, but I'm not a weirdo. Okay. So what you have here is you have a lot of people saying, what was only for that upper room. Hold on just a second. There were more people baptized after what happened on the day of Pentecost. You see it happen in Acts 8, Acts 10, and Acts 19. And you see a similar pattern of the three baptisms, because I'm going to slow down for everybody for a moment. You see the same three that happens. Now, when people read the book of Acts, and if you're going through your Bible, you read the book of Acts, you're thinking, okay, Acts 1 is month 1, Acts 2 is month 2, Acts 3 is month 3. The book of Acts, the 28 chapters of the book of Acts, actually covers several decades of the early church. Remember, decades of the early church. So when you're reading, that context, now, in Acts 19, the Apostle Paul is talking to some new believers in Ephesus, these Ephesian Christians. Remember this. This is 10 years after the day of Pentecost. 10 years. And God's pattern is the same. Watch. Look what he asked them. Acts 19, verse 2. Follow with me. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them, no, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And that's where some of y'all are coming from. Everybody told you about get saved, get water baptized. But then this pastor says, wait a minute, let's talk about number three and let's not avoid it because of the weirdos out there. He said, there's something you can have. How many know you can be full of the power of the Holy Spirit and be a normal person and not a weirdo? They said, nobody even talked to us about this. Some of you are going, Pastor, no one ever talked to me about this in my youth group. Nobody talked to me about this in my Bible study. No one ever talked about this. They were in the same place. Look at verse 3. Then what baptism did you experience, he asked. They replied, the baptism of John. Paul said, John's baptism called for what? Repentance of sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus Christ. That's the baptism, number one, salvation. Do you see it right there? As soon as they heard this, they were what? That was the word baptizo, which means they were baptized in water the moment they're in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we got baptism one, baptism two. This is 10 years later. Any of you want to bet what happened next? Let's go to verse 6. Then Paul laid his hands on them. The Holy Spirit came on them. And they spoke in other tongues and began to prophesy, declare the glory of God. Oh, yeah. 10 years later, the pattern has not changed. See, friends, here's the deal. People say, well, it's just not for today. There's just one problem with you believing it's not for today. Do you know that this year alone, over 19 million Jesus followers will experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit just as the early church did? To this year alone, 19 million. Do you know that means 54,000 people today, Christians, are going to experience the glorious infilling power of the Holy Spirit to worship God, to commune in the Spirit? 54,000. Why not us be a part of that 54,000? Come on. Are you seeing this? They say by 2025, there'll be over 1 billion Christians on the planet Earth that have experienced the glorious infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, friends, if it was just for yesterday and for that upper room, friends, it has stopped a long time ago. But 54,000 people today alone are going to experience it somewhere around the world. What I'm trying to tell you is that that promise and that power is not just for today. It's for you today, ma'am. Sir, it's for you today. Come on, it didn't stop in Acts 28. We're writing Acts 29, friends. We're the church that's carrying it on. How many want more of what Jesus said you could have? Amen. More, more, more. All right, so I'm going to come in for a landing because some of you are going, okay, now, Pastor, talk to me about that speaking in tongues thing. I'm not afraid to take on anything. What about that speaking in tongues thing? How's that happen? Let's talk to you about the pattern to receive that. The promises for today, the powers for today, and the pattern to receive. Let's just look at the theological pattern, okay? Now you go, now, Pastor, I like everything you say, power and all, but can we do it that speaking in tongues thing? Well, it's kind of hard to disconnect the New Testament power from the New Testament pattern when you see the pattern there all the time. You know what I mean? You see the same pattern. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I went and I bought these shoes, and I didn't go in and say, hey, I'd like a pair of shoes, but no tongues, please. I'd like a pair of shoes without tongues, please. How many know I bought the shoes and the tongues come with it? It's part of the pattern here. It's part of the pattern. Okay, but let me show you. It's a simple pattern. Here's a simple pattern. Just, you can go look at it. Here it is. When you look at the New Testament church, number one, they were saved. They knew they were lost, and Jesus Christ is saving them and confessed him as Lord. They were saved. Everybody said saved. It wasn't anything you could earn. It was something you knew that you needed, and only he could provide it. Number two, these people were hungry for everything Jesus said they could have. Everybody say hungry. Are you hearing that? See, some of you are going, but Pastor, I got all these hang-ups as a Christian. I still got to get to know. I understand that the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about that, but it's not how holy you are. It's how hungry you are. If you'll take care of hungry, he's the one that handles holy, and the Spirit will give you power to build up where you're falling apart. You need this. But they were hungry. The problem with us so many times is we're so busy analyzing the meal, we don't even get to enjoy it. We're so critical of every ingredient, and we all hook ourselves up about those weirdos out there. The weirdos are there. But I'm telling you something, you need to be hungry. People are too busy going, well, how's he going to do this, Pastor? I mean, how's the Lord going to do this? I'm just waiting for God to give me, feel vibration. What am I going to do? Well, Sister Beulah said she felt something vibrating. Well, I didn't feel a vibration. Quit making your experience your theology. Well, how's he going to do this? Pastor, he's going to jack my jaw, flip my tongue, slap my lips. What's he going to do? Come in and grab my tongue, go. What's he going to do? He's going to force my tongue. How's he going to do this? Hunger for the things of God. Stop analyzing everything, and by faith, receive what Jesus said was yours. And here's the third thing they did. At some point, those believers believed it. They received it, and by faith, everybody say by faith. By faith, they begin to speak and begin to pray to God, spirit to spirit, as the Holy Spirit started praying through them for the will of God. If I could put it simply this way, like salvation, one receives the baptism in the Holy Spirit and releases the prayer language by faith. So if you're saved today, how'd you get saved? The Bible says you believe with your heart and with your, make confession. In your language, you make confession. So how did you get saved? Did your parents look at you when you were a toddler, a child, and go, this child is so horrible right now? This child could be a candidate for the Antichrist, and we need to get them saved. And the Bible says you got to believe in your heart and with your mouth confess. And they said, you're going to get saved today. Is this how you got saved? You're going to get saved today. You're going to get saved today. I said, you're going to get saved today. You're going to get Jesus in you. We're going to get Jesus in you today. Now say, Jesus is Lord. Well, you're a toddler. You're going. Honey, you're going to save confession. About, you grab the bottom lip. I'll grab the upper lip. I'm going to yank that tongue. And you're going to say, Lord. There. Is that how it happened? No. You know what happened? You were convicted by the Holy Spirit. You said, Lord, I'm a sinner, and the only way I can see have salvation, eternal life, is through you, Jesus, and I received that gift, and you said it. It could have been a broken prayer. God, here I am. I don't know what to do in my life. I messed it up. Jesus, be my Lord. Help me, Jesus. Forgive me. And Jesus said, that's enough for me. Boom. And you've made that confession to everybody. You had to open your mouth. It is the same way when it comes to you releasing the language of the Spirit. By faith, you know it's yours. You're not trying to analyze it or question it away. And by faith, they begin to speak and they begin to give voice to the Holy Spirit. Are you seeing this? You've got to give a voice to the Holy Spirit. You begin to let your voice and you give it to the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the deal. People are going, well, Pastor, here's my problem. I'm so afraid it's going to be me. that, and how many of you ever had, how many of you ever filled with the Holy Spirit, and right after you started releasing by faith that language spirit, there was a voice from the enemy and said, that's not the Holy Spirit, that's you. Would you raise your hands real quick to make everybody feel absolutely at home? Thank you very much. You can put it down. That's what the devil does. Well, that's you. It's not the Holy Spirit, that's you. Well, I have a question. Who else is it gonna be? See, the problem is that some of you think that you're checked out because you've seen weirdos and you think you check out. You're gonna be fully aware of what's going on. You, by faith, are engaging and giving voice to it. Well, I'm so afraid I'm going to be in the flesh, and I'm going to be spirit. I'm just afraid I'm going to be in the flesh and not the spirit going to be in the flesh. Let me tell you, you're afraid you're going to be in the flesh? Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to have you come to the altar, lay your fingers on the altar. I'm going to take a ball-peen hammer and smash your fingers, listen to you scream, and I'll prove to you, you will be in the flesh. You're going to know what's going on. You're not checked out. You're an intellectual. You're a thinker, but you're a person of faith. And at some point, like when you got saved, you had to give voice to, I believe, Jesus, and I confess and declare it to everyone. You've got to give voice to the divine dialect of the Holy Spirit that he's releasing through you to pray. Now, I'm going to conquer two myths real quick. How many still with me today? Okay. All right. Except that one guy over there in the back. Come on, get with me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm going to conquer two myths. Here's the first myth that I want to deal with. The first myth is that when you speak in tongues, you should speak with fluency. And the reason we think that is because we're listening to other people in the small group, in the youth group, or a pastor up on stage, and he begins to start praying in the Holy Spirit, and it's just so eloquent, it just comes out, and I don't speak like that. And so because you have one syllable or two syllables in the divine dialect, you don't think it's the Holy Spirit. Let me explain something about the gifts God gives. Most of them do not come with fluency. You grow in that gift, even praying in the spirit of the language of communication with God. So let me tell you, and let's see, some people say, I have a gift of teaching, Pastor, I have the gift of teaching. Well, how many know the day that God gave them the gift of teaching, how many know that God did not download the entire Bible and a Strong's exhaustive concordance in their brain at that moment? How many know they grew and had to show that they were growing and mature in the Word? Just like leading. Somebody says, Pastor, I have a gift to lead. Well, how many know that they had to learn leadership and develop their leadership and show leadership, and they stepped up? It didn't just happen, boom, you're a leader. We're going to make you president of the corporation. No, they grew in it. Are you seeing this? How about the gift of giving? Some of us used to be dollar people, throw a buck in the offering. Then God started raising you to $5 in the offering. Now you're a $100 person. You're giving $100 away. Now you're a $1,000 person. Some of you used to be a $1,000 person. Now you're a $10,000 person. Did that happen overnight? No. You grew in the gift of giving. And as you grew, God kept blessing you, and you kept maturing in it, and you now have the gift of giving. See, everybody thinks it comes with fluency, and so you think the myth is because I say one word in the divine dialect that it's not the Holy Spirit, and Satan starts trampling on you. Yeah, it's the flesh. It's you. It's forced. Let me just say something to you. No one is born, even in their English language, speaking fluently. And you grow in the gift of the language of the Spirit. It's just like your toddlers. Don't you just love it when the toddler starts starting to learn how to talk, and you have all your friends over, and here comes your little toddler starting to walk, and they come away like this, a soggy diaper, and they go up to you. And you and your wife and your grandparents go, oh, he's so precious. He's so adorable. He's so sweet. Did you hear that? I know he mukalaki. Oh, that's precious. That's so precious. Oh, listen, he's learning how to speak in that precious. He's doing mukalaki. And your friends are going, that's really neat. But in their head, they're going, your kid needs hooked on phonics, man. That's what your kid needs, okay? Okay? And you're going, let me mukalaki. And they're watching you as you go to the kitchen sink and you fill up his sippy cup. And you hand the sippy cup. They said, your kid thirsty? Yeah, didn't you hear him? He said, Lama Mukalaki. Mukalaki? What in the thunder is Mukalaki? Well, it's water. The father knows the heart of the child. And Mukalaki sounds foreign to you. But to dad, it's water. Yes. Yes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That child's trying to give voice to a language. And when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, I don't care if it's one syllable, I don't care if it's two, you start praying it. You let it grow every day. Get out of there and start praying in the Holy Spirit, man, every day. And the Heavenly Father's up and people are going, what are they praying over there? What are they saying? I don't know. But the Father's up there going, I know what he's saying. Give that kid some mukalake. He needs some muka. Give that kid a dose of water of the Spirit. Stop the hang-up because you watch somebody go off like a machine gun in tongues and you don't sound the same. It said the tongues of fire separated and came on each of them. It was separate, unique. But it says in Romans 8, the Father knows what those groanings are. The Father knows what those words are. And it's the direct will of the Spirit praying through you. Mukalaki, maybe God set my grandson free from drugs. That's what mukalaki may be meaning in your language. Whew. How many handle one more myth? Okay, the three you stay, rest of you are dismissed. Go to Cracker Barrel. Okay, don't do that. Okay, let me give you the last one, okay? The other myth is this, and I blame the weirdos for this. You can't control speaking in tongues. That somehow, I've checked out intellectually, and that somehow, people I've seen have lost control because they said, well, I was out of control. The Holy Spirit took over. Can I tell you how many church services when I was at evangelizing where people just did crazy, nutty things in the name of the Spirit and told me, Pastor Sam, I was out of control. I said, there's only one kind of people that are out of control, and they're usually demon-possessed. Everything the Father gives you is as a result of you yielding in obedience to his will. You yield to that. I've seen people do it. Oh, I couldn't control it. Yes, you can. You know why? Because the Word of God says you can. 1 Corinthians 14:32. This is talking about corporate use, not public use, because they were having crazy stuff happen in corporate use, and they're all going, oh, it's that uncontrolled spirit took over, and I just couldn't control myself, so I just went crazy, wild, and nutty, and said it, and I blamed it. God, you're the nut, not me. Here's what he said. For the spirit of the prophets, the speakers in tongues are under the speaker's control and subject to being silenced as may be necessary. He said, in other words, we're going to teach and train even in the corporate setting of the public use. So don't get your feelings hurt. Grow. You are in control of the use of your prayer language the same way you are in control of any language you speak. People say, oh, I'm just out of control. But you saw some person weird over here, and they told you, oh, I'm just out of control. No, no, no. You're thinking, but yet you're yielding and surrendering and giving a voice to the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't lose control. Come on, let's say you've got the gift of teaching, Grandpa, and you go to Chuck E. Cheese with your grandson, and all of a sudden, all the animated characters are around, the big mouse is around, and all of a sudden you go, oh, no. I feel the gift of teaching coming on right now. And you go run up to the stage and start knocking down the animated characters because I can't control it. I just got to teach. I got to tell everybody who the sun-clothed woman is. And I got to give them the 16 fundamental truths. I got to get up right now, give them doctrine right now. I can't control my spirit of teaching. All of a sudden, here comes the mouse to get you off the stage. You punch out the giant mouse. You say, I got to teach because I'm out of control. That, seriously? I see people hold church services hostage and then the pastor's just not spiritual enough because I said, it's under the control of the Spirit. No. You know what? They say they're out of control with that one thing sometimes with the Holy Spirit, blame the Spirit. But you know what I've never seen with some of those folks? I've never seen them get out of control with the gift of giving. Never seen them do it. Now, they can rob God of the tithe, but he's just out of control. He couldn't get a control with their finances and rob God, but they're out of control of the Spirit of God. I just got to go where the Spirit of God let me do what I need to do. Never seen get out of the Spirit. I've never seen the gift of giving get out of control. I've never seen one of those people say, oh, it's just out of control, Pastor. I couldn't control it. I've never seen them in the middle of a church service at offering time go, oh, praise you, Lord. Honey, you see my hand? Oh, I don't know. I can't control it. Oh, I know what's happening. It's happening. It's offering time. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, I know. It's going for my wallet, dear. It's going for my wallet. It's going for my wallet. Oh, no. Honey, hold my hand. I'm out of control. I can't take it. Oh, no. It's going for the bills. No, no, no. George Washington. Not Benjamin. George. George. Go for George. Not Ben. Leave Ben alone. Oh, no. It's a Ben. Oh, I can't control it. Never seen it happen one time. Not one time ever seen it. And the problem with the church in America is they're letting the weirdos stop you and hijack you from the greatest empowerment of touching spirit to spirit and releasing that language of the Spirit to say, God, you told me I could have the Holy Spirit, and I need it because I need to be like Jesus. I can't do this on my own, Jesus. I need your Spirit to overcome this addiction. I need your Spirit to overcome this hate. I need your Spirit to overcome this anger. Jesus, I need you, Holy Spirit, fill me full of everything Jesus said I could have. How many believe, friends, it's time for us to leave one language that we're normal with and go into the next language, another language, the language of the Holy Spirit, and by faith say, God, just like I got saved, I receive that power. I want you to release that power, and I release that language, and I give my voice. And the Bible says, and they began to speak, and the Spirit started enabling. Oh, how many believe the Lord loves you, and He wants to give you everything He said you could have? Oh, my God.